Kids, you are invited to Children's Church. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this time together today. Thank you for your Spirit meeting us here in worship. As we come to your word together and as we look at the story of your church this year together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, to call Luke chapter 4 entering a new season for Jesus would be an understatement. It is his big first public teaching moment that we see in Luke's gospel and scripture. There's already rumors going on about him and how he's a healer, so he's been doing ministry. But here he's stepping into the synagogue in his hometown where he grew up and standing before the people and letting them know what he is all about. It's his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release for the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What Jesus is about is summed up very concisely in just a short passage from Isaiah, because at the end he says, "Today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing." That is, those words are about me. This is what I am about. It was important for Jesus to be clear where he was going, what he was all about as he began his ministry. And for us as his followers, right? We're Jesus followers, Christian church here. We all believe in, I mean, that's what we're doing here. We're worshiping the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Son is Jesus. So we take a lot of our cues from him. It's important for us as followers of him to also remind ourselves what we're about, to remind ourselves of his activity, what he's been doing in our lives. And so today we are going to do that. We're going to celebrate what God has done in our lives in the past year. And we're going to look a little bit ahead as to where we see God's Spirit leading us. And that's a good thing to do, right? It's a good thing to take stock of where God is at work. So I'm going to invite the fearless leader of this church, our chair, Mr. Dan Carter. He's going to come, and he's going to read his report that he wrote for us. It's in your packets. I cut off all page numbers because I couldn't get them right. I figured it's better to have no page numbers than wrong page numbers. The contents tell you what page it is, but there's no numbers on the bottom. But it says leadership team report at the top. And it's...
I think it said page 6.
Page 6. So if you can count pages, not including the cover page, it's on page 6. So Dan's going to share a little bit about what the leadership team did, and then I'm going to take over and just talk a little bit more broadly about the church as well.
First of all, I want to say I cut my hand at work, so that's what's going on with that. Since I am the chair of the leadership team, I have the honor of giving this report for the leadership team. As I look back at the past year, I think about how fast it's gone and the many things that have happened in our church. At the top of the list was the church helping to be able to have Pastor as his family take an 8-week sabbatical. I thank everyone from the leadership team and the church family members who took on all the numerous jobs to be done. I have seen new faces enter our church, and they have stayed. What an impact they have made here. Not only have they stayed, but they've taken on many projects in and around our church, mowing the lawn, making new signs for the garden. And remodeling both upstairs bathrooms and becoming part of the church family. Along with the rest of the church, we have helped pack food bags at Harry Hill Center, filled food baskets for families at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It was so wonderful to see how grateful people are to receive baskets for the holidays. Looking forward to the future, I see a lot of good things happening. The past year has brought a lot of us closer together with quilting club and other activities. I've even heard people talking about planning for this year's Christmas festival and have started making crafts already. How exciting it was to see the enthusiasm on everybody's face when it was brought up last year. Everybody came together and it turned out good. With that kind of enthusiasm, the future can only get better in our quest to love God, be the church, and bless the world. With all we've accomplished last year, I hope we continue doing this and more. If you have ideas to help with bettering our church, give them to one of the leadership team. And please be willing to organize, share your idea. It doesn't have to be a fundraiser. It could be a movie night. We just got a popcorn machine. It can be anything. I myself would like to schedule a trip to the Historical Museum in Lansing this spring. In conclusion, I would like to put out a plea to the younger congregation. Our older congregation members have reached retirement age, and they are the ones who helped build and maintain this church for all these years. They should not have to do as much work as ever. We could sure use some volunteers. We need people in the nursery, in Wednesday Night Live to sweep, take out trash, and more. Please volunteer. Now, that's not just Wednesday Night Live. It's every time, you know, all the time. Okay, I'd like to thank all the people that have helped me get through my year as chair of the leadership team. I know I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Dan, for leading us. Before I dig too much into my report, this past week was the Covenant Midwinter Conference in Denver, Colorado. I was not in Denver, Colorado. I was here. But I got to watch some of the sessions online, which given technology nowadays, you don't even have to be there to be there. You just have to be on a two-hour off schedule and figure out what time things are. If you can do math, you can figure it out, which I had trouble with sometimes. But it was our first midwinter with our new president of the Evangelical Covenant Church, of which we're part, John Wenrick. He led our Vitality Ministries for many years before he took over as president. So everything we've done on the Vitality Pathway, Veritas, Epic, when we took the Pulse Survey, you guys are all part of a lot of these things. The One and the Dream Again workshops, all these things that we've been a part of, were all created by our new president. And we're excited for his new vision for the ECC and where we're headed. He's certainly a great, well-respected leader, and we look forward to where that's headed. Within our conference, you guys know the Great Lakes Conference, many of you know, is what we are a part of, but the Great Lakes Conference extends to Tennessee because everybody thinks of Tennessee as a Great Lakes state, and Kentucky as well, right? Ohio, Michigan, Western New York, Western Pennsylvania. It's a big conference, and we're still investing in four church plants that are still in their early stages and getting up and running. One is our sisters and brothers at Kingdom Embassy Church in Muskegon. It's very exciting. Pastor Arthur Duren, actually Don and Lori Frisbee, have gotten the chance to worship with them on a Sunday earlier this year, the summer, the fall, and got to see how the excitement and the energy going on at that church. There's also a church in Richmond, Kentucky, pastored by Harvey Kozart, who is not as tall as me, but his feet are three sizes larger than mine. So there's other pastors in the covenant that are big besides me. So, but I am the tallest, in case you didn't know that. Big surprise, right? And there's the Movement Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Believe it or not, they needed another church in Nashville. That's his big joke. Joey is this fantastic pastor. They don't have very many smaller churches in Nashville. They have a lot of big mega churches in Nashville, so reaching a different population. Very excited for him. And then this year, and also there's another church opening in West Virginia that opened this past year. But just this past month, a couple weeks ago, our brothers and sisters at Life Church Auburn Hills started meeting for the first time, and they are just launching a church plant. Don Earl Johnson and Cameron Underdown. And Cameron Underdown was one of Chris Kozak's youth leaders growing up in the Detroit area as a kid, which is kind of cool. We had this roundabout conversation where we discovered that. And very excited for what God's doing there. So God is on the move, but beyond us, in the larger and broader church, and God is on the move right here in Lansing. My report is long this year. We don't have as many reports and ministry teams as we used to. Everything's a little bit pared down, so I kind of try to include everything in my report. And I'm not going to read the report. But I kept thinking of this Walt Whitman line. And it's like this really, really long poem that goes on and on and on. But there's just like this parenthetical statement he makes as he's talking about all the contradictions in himself. He says, "I am large, I contain multitudes." And I thought, each one of us is that, right? We contain multitudes. We got a lot of stuff going on inside of us. Sometimes we're unpredictable. No matter how well you know somebody, every once in a while they do something that surprises you, right? Am I right? Even if you've been married for 60 years, every once in a while your spouse will surprise you. Every once in a while, you know, just like these things, you're like, wow. We contain multitudes, and we as a church contain multitudes. We may be small, relatively speaking, compared to maybe some other churches, but we have a lot of different people here with a lot of different gifts, a lot of different interests, a lot of different friend groups. We live in a lot of different places. We cover a lot of geographical ground. We contain multitudes, and it is such an amazing thing to be part of this community, and can you believe that in just a couple weeks, about 2 weeks, I will have been your pastor for 10 years. Can you believe that? 10 years. That's double digits. That's a decade from what I understand. Again, not great at math, but I think it is. 10 years. It's unbelievable. That means that I am 10 years older than I was back then, and each of you are as well. Sorry for the reminder, but I kind of forget that sometimes too. Everybody's the same age they were when I came here 10 years ago. Like, oh no, you're all 10 years older. It's very interesting. It's like being in a time machine sometimes. But you guys know what our mission is? It is to okay, let's try it again. It was really clear. I was trying to do it without saying it at all. So I'm gonna not say it. You guys are going to say it. Our mission is to, I'm going to give you three fingers for the three things. Okay, ready? Look at that. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. I know it's only 8 words, but I'm just so glad that we're able to do that together. You guys love God. I see it in your lives. I see it in the way you live. I see it when you come together here. I see it when I hear about the way you're caring for each other. Sometimes I feel guilty about like not checking in on somebody, and then I find out that like three other people have already checked in on them because you guys are doing a great job. I mean, we can always do a better job. I can do a better job. We can. But the way we show up for one another is part of how we love God. The way we dig into our own spiritual lives, dig into the scriptures, dig into prayer every day of our lives is part of how we love God. But as a church, one of the places that we love God together is right here on Sunday mornings, right? We come here, we sing, we pray, we confess, we gather at the table, we listen to teaching, we read scripture together, and we've learned a lot over the past year. It's kind of fun for me to like go back and think, oh yeah, I put a lot of work into all those sermons. I kind of forgot about them, and now I know what it's like for you guys. You just hear them once. I work on them for a week, and I still forget about them, but yeah, I know. It's a lot. But last spring, we did the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series, which I've always been such a fan of. It's like the third time through the course, first time doing it on Sunday mornings. Anybody remember being a little uncomfortable at some of those Sundays when we're talking about digging into the shadow self and facing the truth about our lives and our histories? There's a lot of uncomfortable things about emotionally healthy spirituality, but I think if we want to continue to love God more and more, we need to continue to become more self-aware and continue to grow as individuals so that we have a greater capacity to love God and be the church together. We talked about identity. We talked about a lot of things. And you got to hear some great preaching while I was gone. Now, I got to hear a few of them from recordings, but some of them didn't get recorded, whatever. But you got to hear from our now director of congregational vitality in the Great Lakes Conference, Shelley Kurth. She preached at our church 3 times last year, Shelley Kurth. Fantastic pastor, woman of God, now our director of congregational vitality. So she's in charge of the vitality pathway in the Great Lakes Conference churches. Does a great job of that. Karen O'Meara preached for us back in January. But then also during the sabbatical, we had Barbara Bieland, who is a pastor in Grand Rapids, who came and preached for us. Kate Buckner, who is a staff pastor at Life Church Canton, the biggest church in the Great Lakes Conference. She's one of many, many pastors on that staff. And Jim Robinson, retired pastor, Baptist pastor in town, came and preached for us a couple times. And Cullen Menke, a friend of mine who's in the area, who serves student ministries at Element Church on campus at MSU. And there is a movement in the Covenant Church, the ECC, started by one of my dear friends, called Four More. Four More Women in the Pulpit is the full name of it. And it's a challenge for churches in the past year to have four more women in the pulpit. And so last year we had four women in the pulpit for a total of 7 weeks, I believe, 6 or 7 weeks. You may not have been counting. But I don't think there's ever been an argument that men can't be pastors. Ever heard that argument? No man should ever be a pastor. Has anybody ever heard that argument? No man is qualified to ever be a pastor. Women who are pastors hear all the time, you are not qualified to be a pastor because why? You're a woman. They hear it all the time, all the time. I can't even relate to this, right? I like people are like, oh yeah, you should be a pastor. Like my whole life, oh yeah, you should probably be a pastor. That's like, it's like just affirmations. I happen to be a man. I know some of my sisters who are better pastors than me. I'm just telling you. I'm not the greatest out there. I do all right. But there are called and gifted women who just don't get a fair shake when it comes to churches. And so it was really meaningful to me that during the sabbatical, you all opened up the pulpit and listened to several women bring the word. And that visibility is so important for people like our young people, our young boys and our young women to see, oh yeah, I guess pastors, I mean, obviously I'm your pastor, so you're going to see me most of the time, but I'm not the only thing when it comes to pastors. I suppose some of you who've had a lot of pastors know that I'm different than some other pastors, but we all need that diversity to see what's going on in the world. But loving God is so huge. So our Sunday morning worship is where we love God. Our Wednesday Night Live is such a huge formational piece for our kids in particular and our youth. Some of our youth are not here very often on Sunday mornings, but they come on Wednesday night and they get an hour of class time. They get a half hour of worship time. They get all this fellowship time. And it's a great place for them to learn what it is to love God, to be discipled in the faith for our youth and our kids. And of course, what's going on in that room, if you've never taught children's church, I never have because I'm always up in here. Maybe one of these days somebody would preach here and then I'll go teach children's church so I can see what it's like. But our children are receiving instruction, learning what it is to love God with their lives during this whole time, every Sunday. And I thank you all for volunteering and helping out. We've had new people step up and try it this year and find out that it's not quite as scary as you may have thought. It's so fantastic. Be the church. Here we are, being the church. We're gathered here today. When this building is empty, I don't know. I mean, we can call it a church building, but like when we're here, we're the church, right? The way we work together to make things happen, the way the fellowship sign-up sheet fills up with people's names, the way that people come in and usher every Sunday, the way people go in and serve in the nursery and the children's church, the way people sweep and mop floors, take trash out, the way people prepare meals, the way people visit one another when they haven't heard from somebody in a while or call people, check in on them. These are all ways of being the church. But being the church is who we are for one another, right? But it's also not like insular because the church is always like supposed to be going outward, right? So being the church is also when we're out in the community, when we're out in our neighborhoods, when we're out mowing our grass, when we're out walking around, walking dogs. You guys have dogs? You walk them? Yeah. We are being the church wherever we go in this world. We need one another and we need to care for one another, but everywhere we go out in this world, we are being the church. So, this past year, some of you were part of a Saturday morning small group that met sometimes at Mark's place, sometimes met at somebody's house, met in various places. And you got to be the church out in the community and do churchy things even out in the community. Being the church, we had a security team form this year, and under the technological supervision of our mighty Mike Lopez, we have sensors on doors, we have a couple cameras. I don't know if you guys even knew about that. There's a sign on the door now that lets you know, so that if a door sensor goes off, Mike can look at the camera and see who came in. Say, oh, it's just Joanne again. Well, then he can ignore the alert. Hey. Yes. But if, you know, if it's somebody with a crowbar breaking things, then, you know, we know that too, right? That so far that person hasn't come in, so we're thankful. But we also, you know, we have a team talking about procedures and all sorts of things, and we're glad for that. We're glad we also have had at least one meeting of a team talking about what we do with new visitors when they come. How do we follow up with them? How do we make them feel welcomed? And we still got some work to do on that, but we're improving. All of this is part of what it is to be the church. and being the church this year meant losing some church members as well. Right at the very beginning of the year, Carol Miner, Jim's wife, passed, and didn't seem like too much longer after that. We lost Lorene Morgan, and Roger Grant and Dwayne Bartram both passed in July. So heartbroken not to be able to be here for Dwayne and his family. You guys knew I was on the West Coast at that time, but hard as his pastor for 9 years to not be able to do that, but we remember. And then, of course, that's this year, but just last week, recently to have lost Molly. these two women who filled this place with music for decades and decades and decades, to think that they're no longer with us is so sad. So we remember them, even though it brings tears to our eyes. We want to remember the significance of these men and women who were part of this church, who cared, who served, who loved. And we carry on their ministry in whatever way we can, motivated by the way they lived their lives, the model, the example that they set. And it does us well to think about that model, because there were some good models of faith. A lot of years of faithful living combined in those men and women. So being the church can be hard because, well, loving one another is hard. And we're called to love each other in the church. And love is risky. Because when there's ruptures, it hurts. But we have each other. To lift one another back up, to cry on each other's shoulders. We are the church. The third thing we are about is blessing the world. And we continue to try to empower everybody to do that individually. For the second year in a row, we spent several weeks doing the Bless Initiative. Begin with prayer. Listen with care, eat together, serve with love. See, you guys still doing? Remember the last one? Share your story. Yeah, see, he's just smart cookies, you all. it's a wonderful acronym, and if you have it memorized, it's helpful, right? We're thinking about it as we're out in the world. Who am I praying for right now? I'm in this conversation, but I really got to get going, or I am not interested in what this person's saying. How can I listen with care here? Because sometimes we have to force ourselves to listen. Eating together. Man, if my church assignment every week is just to go eat with somebody, man, that's the best assignment ever. I love eating. Serving with love, sharing our stories. This is what blessing the world is often about in our daily lives. But we've taken some actions together. We've really stepped up our Super Summer Wednesday outreach and extended it into Wednesday Night Live. In October, we did some community service projects out in the neighborhood as well. We've started going monthly to the Hill Center to pack weekend survival kits for Lansing public school kids. None of these things in themselves are like solving world poverty. But every little thing that we do helps them, but it helps us. It helps us to decenter ourselves from our lives a little bit, right? To put others over ourselves. I mean, it's so important. Filling up those Christmas and Thanksgiving baskets and delivering them to families. Only a few of us get to experience the joy of delivery. But it is such an important and a huge blessing. It may seem like something very small, but it is significant. And we thank you for your faithfulness. (clears throat) 2019 is the year we are in currently, right? January is coming to an end quick. So you're like, January can be gone anytime it wants to, and all of its weather. Oh, if only. This week it's going to be a little crazy. I know that for me in 2019, in terms of loving God, I want to focus on our leaders, developing our leaders, caring for our leaders, equipping our leaders. That means our leadership team, but that also means just anybody. So I really do hope that you're able to come to the Vision and Leadership Retreat at Marlene's house in March. But I think that is so important, how I can train other people to do what I do, and I can train you also that it's not like the pastor has to do this, the pastor has to do that. I can ask you guys to help, but I also need to like share some of my what I learned in seminary and all that stuff and all those big heavy books on my shelf, impart some wisdom if I have it, and also listen and learn from you all. But developing leaders is something that I really want to focus on in this coming year. In terms of being the church, still want to connect more deeply to the neighborhood, to the neighbors, the people, but also the organizations, the businesses that are around here, getting to know what this community is like a little bit more and how we can serve the people around us and really be a part, a meaningful part of this neighborhood and this community so that we don't have to ask, well, I don't know what people need. If we're really engaged, then we'll know. We'll have a stronger sense of who people are, what the greater needs are, and maybe where we fit. We fit here, but where do we fit in the context of the story God is telling all around us? And the same for blessing the world. So that's about enlarging our table of fellowship. But for blessing the world, offering opportunities for hands-on service in the community, continuing to do the things that we are doing, but keeping our ears open to what new ideas the Spirit has for us. We have a lot of gifts here, a lot of resources. It's easy to think that because we're not a mega church that we're severely limited in what we can do. That's not true. We have so many gifts. We have this relational capital. We have all these people who are such a blessing, who are faithful, who are great models. I know that the financial report can be a little discouraging as you look at it. But I will point out that our actual general fund giving this year was $2,000, less than $2,000, less than it was last year. No, a little bit more than $2,000. It looks like last year, we were in the positive by $2,500. This year, we're in the negative by $11,000. But so much of that is because of the market and investment income, which is why in the 2019 budget, we don't have the investment. We didn't budget any investment income because we have no idea what's going to happen, right? Last year, the market was great. It helped us out. This year, the market was bad. It was not good for us. So I don't want you to be discouraged and think the sky is falling because we fell short of our budget. You know, we did have less giving than last year, but by $2,000, not $13,000, as it would appear by looking at the financial reports. Is it a struggle to get by today for individuals and for churches? Yes, it's a struggle. But when we believe that God has called us to something, we get by. We continue. We soldier on. I'm so excited to see what God does this year as we continue to grow as individuals, as we continue to grow as a community, as we continue to unleash the ideas of you all. What are you all passionate about? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? I'd love to hear and pursue some of those things. All in service to our overarching mission to love God wholeheartedly, to be the church more faithfully and more visibly, and to bless the world, and to bless the world significantly through self-sacrifice, through giving of ourselves. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We can all say that, right? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We are in God's hands. It's up to us to orient our lives according to his paths, right? We don't just wake up every morning and God just zips us around like moving chess pieces on a board. But we do know that he sees the whole thing. right? He sees the whole thing. He has this beautiful plan for each one of us and for this church and for this community and for this city. We have a role here. God has called us to a mission, and it is so exciting to be a part of it. I'm so humbled to be able to offer what I have in service to the mission God has for this church, and look forward to where it heads in the coming year. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your strength, for your guidance of this church. We know people associated with Bretton Woods have been doing faithful ministry in this neighborhood for over 70 years. Lives have been changed and transformed. People have come to know Jesus for the first time. People have grown in their faith in Jesus. People have gotten the help that they needed in difficult times. People have gotten spiritual guidance when they've needed it. People have been assured that they are not alone by the people of this church. Kids have been loved and cared for. Youth and teenagers and adults alike have felt the love of this community. So we thank you, God, that you guide every step of the way. So Lord, give us the faith and the strength to continue to follow you into the future. It's in the strong name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.